Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 313, Boba at Home. Sunday, July 16th, 2023. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. Support for this podcast comes from folks who contribute regularly or make a one-time contribution on Ko-Fi. And each quarter, I offer up a different me-made prize, something that I think listeners might enjoy. You can find links to my Ko-Fi page on my website. Thanks so much for your support. Hello and welcome. It is a gloomy, dreary, humid, rainy afternoon here near Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania, where I am recording from Yin Hu Chai Wan, Silver Lake Tea House, my home. It has been a very wet and rainy summer so far, very different from last year's summer of drought. And I thought I would take this opportunity to record a podcast episode. This is not a regular episode. This is a very specific episode about my recent boba making at home experiences. It will not be the length of usual podcasts, and I'll return to my regular segments and a regular length episode in episode 314, which I will release later in this month of July. If you follow me on Instagram, you may have seen some of the boba at home posts that I've been making this late spring and summer. Boba is a kind of specialty tea drink that originated in Taiwan in the 1980s. And it has since become popular all around the world. And the variety of ingredients and the ways that it's enjoyed and put together are just as diverse and interesting as all of the people who make it and enjoy it. The basic kind of original three elements to boba are tapioca pearls, and that's the boba or the bubble of the bubble tea, some kind of tea, and milk. Those are generally the basic components, but if you go into any boba shop or you look up recipes online, you'll find that they quickly start to diverge from those three main elements. I started making boba at home because we have exactly one boba shop near me in my town. And when I went there a few summers ago, despite my efforts to end up with a less sweet drink, I found that my boba was just really overwhelmingly sugary. And also, the way that it was made and served created a great deal of waste. So while I may enjoy boba out occasionally, I enjoy making it at home because I have control over the ingredients and I can really reduce the amount of waste. Even though I've known about boba for a long time, it suddenly became more interesting and attractive to me as I just really started craving a lot of cold and creamy things, especially during the end phases of my chemotherapy. Just the numbness in my mouth and the reduction of my taste experiences just got me craving a lot of ice cream and things like that. And I thought that boba could be an interesting experiment over the summer and something that I could endlessly riff on. I really like to endlessly riff on a basic idea. So in this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things I purchased specifically so that I could make boba at home, and some of the things that I tend to keep on hand, a few recipes that I enjoy. And then in the show notes for this episode, I will link to some specific things and a few videos that I found very helpful. I really enjoy the glutinous, gelatinous texture of large tapioca pearls. This texture and experience can be somewhat polarizing. There are a lot of people I've talked to about boba who say, like, I really don't like to chew my drinks. And it's definitely not something that everyone enjoys. I really do enjoy the tapioca pearls, and I also enjoy the tapioca pearls that come out with a black or very dark color. This is a visual contrast to the milky creaminess of the rest of the drink, and it makes it kind of visually interesting and appealing. The first time I bought tapioca pearls, I purchased them from a local Asian market. It seemed to me that they had bought them in massive bulk quantity and sort of divvied them out for about $5 for maybe a quarter pound of these. And I have since purchased some online, and knowing what I like and how much I like to make boba, I am thinking about making a purchase of a much larger quantity, like a 2-pound bag or something like that. I like the kind of boba pearls that cook up in water in about 5 minutes. There are lots of other kinds. There are kind of like jelly varieties. There's popping boba that kind of explode in your mouth. There are all kinds of sugary and differently colored varieties. But I really like the ones that start looking like small brown sugar colored balls. And when they cook up in water in 5 minutes, in boiling or simmering water, they are black or very dark brown. I have found, despite wanting to make them ahead and store them in my refrigerator, that the best texture for tapioca pearls really comes when you make these just before you make your drink. And they're often put in the drink warm, which is why there is so much ice involved in making boba, because in order to get those tapioca pearls cooled down, you really do need a good quantity of ice. So if I'm going to make boba, I cook my tapioca pearls, and I have prepared already, or I prepare it at the same time, a brown sugar syrup. This is equal parts brown sugar and water to make a simple syrup. And as soon as I drain the tapioca pearls, I add them to the glass with a little bit of this simple syrup. And controlling the amount of the simple syrup kind of controls the sweetness, the overall sweetness of the drink. I like boba that's a little bit sweet, but not cloyingly so. On top of that, I usually put a whole bunch of ice and then some kind of tea. I have enjoyed making teas with very strong color. So a simple one is hibiscus tea. That's a beautiful bright pink or red. And that also has kind of like a lemony quality to it. Another one is a tea made with butterfly pea flowers. Those can be purchased dried. They're becoming really popular, and they make a brilliantly blue tea, which is a lot of fun. I've also enjoyed making matcha tea and turmeric tea. These I make from powders, and I would make those in the morning and chill them so that they're chilled by the time I want to enjoy my boba. In terms of topping it off with something milky or creamy, I've used regular cow's milk. I very much like using a creamy formula of oat milk. I've used almond milk, and I've also used smoothies. So I will quite frequently enjoy a protein smoothie, often with banana sometimes during the day. And I've found that that is a really great way to top off boba with a bunch of banana protein smoothie. Another topping that I learned about from watching a bunch of videos is something called cheese foam. And if you thought that the tapioca pearls were polarizing, this cheese foam is even more so. Cheese foam is made, I make mine with 2 tablespoons of cream cheese, and I soften that and stir it together with just a little bit of sugar to sweeten it. And then separately, I whip up 2 tablespoons of whipping cream. I will sometimes put a bit of cream of tartar in it just to help the whipped cream hold its shape. And then I fold the whipped cream into the softened cream cheese. And this makes cheese foam, which is often used to top a boba drink. Some other products that I've found helpful in making boba at home are tall glasses. There are some really beautiful glasses that are shown in some of the videos. There's a variety called a soda can glass that has a nice tall fat shape and then a lip that's reminiscent of the way a soda can will come in. And there are a couple of other different shapes, but I find a nice tall glass is a great way to serve boba. It's kind of essential that you can see into the glass and see what's going on with the different layers and the way that the drink is put together. If you put it in an opaque glass, you're really losing out on that visual experience. And I think that is in large part what makes having boba as a treat so special. Also, a fat straw is essential. So you could buy glass or metal straws that you can keep cleaning and reusing. So far, I have not purchased those. I've just purchased a package of very fat paper straws, and I put them into my compost because they're pretty much softened and deteriorating by the time I finish my boba. But if you have large tapioca pearls, it's really essential that you have a wide straw as well. Another tool that I've found very handy is one of those immersion blenders that's just a very small battery-operated immersion whisk. You can get them for about $10 in a kitchen supply store, maybe even in a big box store or online. And this is really useful for whisking together different kinds of cream if you want your milk to be foamy or frothy at all. And it's also helpful for dissolving powders that you might be using, such as matcha powder or turmeric or chai latte powder. Samuel has very much enjoyed a coffee boba that I've made for him. In the morning, I'll just make an extra serving of decaf coffee and stick it in the refrigerator to chill so that in the afternoon I can layer a drink for him with boba and then the iced coffee and then some kind of milk or oat milk over the top. And he has very much enjoyed that. That's nice if you sprinkle a little like cinnamon sugar over the top. One thing that I find critical is having enough tapioca pearls so that you're finishing the tapioca pearls and finishing the drink at about the same time. And for that reason, I typically use just a little bit less than a quarter cup of dry tapioca pearls per serving. And I just measure them off and dump them into the boiling water as I go. That's usually for the glasses that I have and the size serving that I like to make. About a quarter cup or just a little bit less is the amount that works for us. Generally, I'm enjoying boba in the late afternoon. So that is a time I don't care to have a lot of caffeine in my drink. If you do like a highly caffeinated drink, or maybe you're drinking it earlier in the day, it could be fun to experiment with some black teas and some other beverages that are quite caffeinated. I would absolutely love to hear your comments on this episode. If you already make boba at home and you have any ideas or suggestions, I would love to hear them. And if I have somehow managed to convince you to give boba a try, either at a boba shop or maybe in your own home, please let me know. I think it's a fun summertime drink especially, and it's really been a great experiment to work with some different ingredients and enjoy something cold and creamy that isn't necessarily ice cream. Thanks for listening.